Of late, the Lord's been dealing with me about dating and courtship. Dating, courtship. That's probably not what you're expecting to hear in worship service this morning. But we pray the Lord would bless it. Dating. This is something that our young people deal with. How to do it? When to do it? Should I do it? How do I go about a courtship? How do I go about the process of finding out if there's someone interested in me or if I'm interested in them, if their feelings are reciprocated? The reason for dealing with this morning, folks, is that we're living in a world that has perverted the relationship between a man and a woman. It has perverted the purity of the relationship between young people. Sometimes I'm uncomfortable about certain things, certain words to use, but some of the words that will be used this morning, I'm a little uncomfortable about. I don't like using words that have a sexual nature to them, but I don't hardly know how to bring it out except to use some of those terms this morning. The truth is, so many of the youth of our world are in serious trouble. They're in serious trouble because they haven't had teaching, biblical, fundamental, foundational teaching to help them to know how to conduct themselves in life. And I'll tell you, it's been a while ago, but I can speak from memory, those teenage years and the transitional time are difficult years. They're fun years. Oh, absolutely they are. I can recount so many things in my mind of the things that we did, our cousins playing together, a bunch of guys getting together and going down to the creek down here and doing our best to splash it dry, playing and diving and swimming and all the things that we did, working together side by side in the hay fields. Those things are valuable. Did a lot of that in our teenage years. I'm sure you've done some of those things yourselves. And you think back and you look at them and you remember how much fun you had. But I also remember the nights when I would lay down on my bed and put my face in my pillow and I'd cry. Because I didn't understand how to manage the feelings that I had. Didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know how to direct them. I didn't know... I wasn't sure about all the things. I wanted to try to do the right thing. Didn't really understand how to go about it all the time. Had some confusion in my mind. I had an enemy that was talking in one ear, telling me that I needed to go do this and go do that and not worry about this or worry about that, not to listen to this and listen to that. And I had the Lord talking in the other ear and said, you know, you can't go down that road. Because if you start making those decisions and those choices, they're going to take you away from some real fundamental things. You've had some people in your life that have made a difference and they've taught you and they've talked to you and they've lived before you. And you've had some things there that made a difference. And you know you can't take that road and be really happy. And I try to drown some of those sounds out and involve myself in some other activities. But I found out that over the long haul, when the Lord won out, that I had to make a separation, and I've been happy for it. I've been happy for it over the years. So this morning, this little topic, while it may not be one you would expect to hear on a Sunday morning in a worship service, I would like to ask young parents who are rearing your children, young people who are in your teenage years, I'd like to ask you to take out your pencil and paper and write down a few notes this morning. Generally, the Lord deals with me, maybe with a passage of Scripture, or two or three scriptures, and we work with them, expound those verses. This morning I have several scriptures, and I'd like for you to take this to heart, please. I'd like to turn first to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And we're just going to dive right off into something here. The 18th verse. It says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." First order of business is flee fornication. Stay away from it. Don't allow yourself to be involved in it. Jesus said, "He that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It's not just the actual physical act that cause problems, folks. It's the mental images. It's the things that we conjure up in our minds. It's the things that we dwell on. It's the things that we entertain. It's those things that we give rise to in our own thoughts and minds, and we have a responsibility here. First, he says, you have to realize that you're not your own, that there's been a high price paid for you to have an opportunity to be above these things, so flee fornication. The root word for fornication in the Greek is porneia, and I don't think you have to think too far to see where that word goes. Pornography. All of those things that have to do with the illicit behaviors that people will get involved in. And it says here that every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But this sin, there are things that people get involved in. The smoking, the drinking, the abuses of the body that are influences from outside the body. You can take the drink into your body. You take the smoke into your body. The drugs into your body. This thing comes from the seat of affection in a man's heart and mind, and it involves the actual physical body. It says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I don't think we can begin to realize and imagine how deep this act of sin goes. We can't begin to imagine how deeply it impacts the mind of a man or woman. How much it does to tear down the personhood, to tear down the innocence, to tear down the walls, the barriers, the structures that God has placed in a man and a woman that are there to be protected, to help us guard against the door being opened, wide open, for Satan to come in and take control of our lives. He says, flee this thing. Flee, run from it, get away from it. If it ever opens its door to you, if it ever knocks on the door, you get away from that just as fast as you can. Because if you open that door, once you make that door open to you, and you step in or you start entertaining it, folks, I'll tell you, the enemy is cruel. And he knows how to take advantage of every one of those areas. So once that door is cracked open just a little bit, the enemy comes in like a flood. So the writer here says, flee it. That's his best advice. Stay away from it just as far as you can. Stay away from it, because if you ever entertain it, it's going to begin the process of destroying your soul. Not only the soul, folks, but it has a process of destroying a man's his self-worth, his confidence. It starts tearing down the mind, the thinking processes. It starts really derailing the direction that a man goes in his thinking, in his heart, in his mind. Once he opens that door, he starts going down a different path. So how do we do these things? Go on to the 7th chapter. "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now hold on a minute, preacher. Let's get some balance here with this. Folks, I am so burdened this morning, and I am so concerned for our society. Look how far we have gone. I want you to be honest today. Young people, young men, young ladies, I want you to think about this a minute. How many times have you seen it happen, or have you yourselves dropped that barrier and reached out to touch a young lady? Well, you can say, well, that's so innocent. There's nothing to that. I'll tell you, folks, when the Word of God says, flee these things, don't open the door to it, be careful about it. The bigger picture here is we're talking about dating and courtship. But when we open that door to going out, taking going places with someone by myself, just me and her, just the two of us, on our own, I'll tell you, you open the door, you can't begin to imagine the flood tide of feelings that goes through a man's heart and his mind and a young woman's heart and her mind, because there is an enemy that knows that if he can get us derailed here, that he's got a real opportunity to drag us all the way down to the pit. So he says, concerning the things whereof you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. You say, well, that's carrying it too far. You think so? Do you think so? How many times have you had the opportunity, maybe, to shake hands? I'm going to back up just a little bit here. Talk about a little manners and etiquette. I have been taught, and I have read, in the manners and etiquette, that a gentleman doesn't reach out to shake a lady's hand. He waits until she offers her hand. When she offers her hand, then he can feel free to take and shake that hand. You know, this world has jumbled those things up so much. The business world, we've got so many different things going on in the business world. Forward activities, and we see that. Doesn't make it right. It just is. We have to deal with it. And we have to deal with those effects and impacts. Opening the door. Those types of kindnesses. And stepping back to allow a lady to walk in an elevator first, or whatever the case may be. Those things are common courtesies and manners and politeness. But I'm asking you just to be honest and deal honestly with our own feelings and our own life experiences here, folks. When you, young men, when you reach out to touch a woman, young woman, young lady, any of us, reach out to touch, you tell me if there's not the temptation or the opportunity that can present itself for it to become more than just a casual touch. In your mind, in your heart, the opportunity's there now. It's there to become much more than just a casual thing. It's something that we all have to be careful about. It's something that we all have to guard. The enemy is there to take advantage of all of these things in our hearts and minds. He's there to derail us, and he's there to cause us to be turned down that wrong path. You see, what happens is, once we start opening that door in our hearts and our minds, what does the Scripture say? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Something that can look so innocent, something that can be so innocent, something that can be so simple, the enemy can use that to open the door. Now, I'm not trying to say these things to put us in a straitjacket where we walk around and we have our hands in our pockets and we never reach out to take a hand that's offered to us. That's not what I'm talking about here, but I'm talking about what the enemy tries to do with us, folks. What he tries to do is take advantage of those things that are simple and clean and pure and innocent and pervert them. And he's been too successful. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. So dating, what about it? Everybody does it. If everybody does it, does that mean it's right? Is it a product of the world? 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. The other day I was out on the water. I was enjoying some quiet time. Beautiful scenery. Cypress trees. Even had an eagle fly overhead. An eagle. Got to watch him for several minutes circling overhead. Beautiful, beautiful things. Beautiful things to see and enjoy. But that's not what the Scripture is talking about. The cosmos, the order, the direction that the world has taken. Love not the ordering of the world. Folks, we can love the things that are in this world. They're put here for our enjoyment. They're put here for our benefit. The flowers, the trees, the animals. But it goes on to say, for all that is in the world, let's just turn to that. 1 John, 2nd chapter. Fifteenth verse, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In this context, what this is speaking of in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Love not the world. Now the question that I'm asking is this dating scene. Oh, my mind goes to several months ago, maybe a year or so ago, had a message about weddings, about the simplicity of a wedding, and how that a young man is interested in a young lady and he shows his attention to her and tries to win her heart. And there's other people involved. There's two sets of parents involved here. They're on the side where the daughter is. There's a mom and a dad that have done everything that they know to do to try to rear her and give her security and help her to feel loved and comfortable. They want her to feel like as long as she needs a place, that she's got a place, and that mom and daddy are going to be there. And speaking from the side of the father, I take a position a little stronger there where I feel like I know what I can do for her. I've provided for her for many years and I know what I can do. I know how to take care of her. I know how to make sure she's got enough, but I have no idea what you're going to do. I have no idea how you're going to take care of her. You're young. You haven't had a chance to prove everything yet to me. I hope you're going to do well, but I know what I can do for her. So you come and ask for her hand in marriage. And I say that's not always... Well, it's not required. When they're of legal age, they're not required legally to come ask if they can get married. But it sure is a common courtesy, isn't it? And what's wrong with it? And when the time comes for them to come before the congregation and the young lady walks up the aisle with her father and the father stands there with his daughter in his arm and the minister says, who gives this daughter in marriage? Who gives her? There has been a time, folks, and it ought to be still today, where a man feels the protecting of his daughter. Feels like he has a responsibility to take care of her and protect her as much as he possibly can. And there was a time when there was a chaperone that was with a couple. They weren't always just left on their own. And the reason was because there was an understanding that there was the potential, the possibility for things to go the wrong way. But today's time in society, we very easily, very freely allow our children, young folks, to go out on their own, just a young man and a young lady by themselves, and who knows the end of the temptations that are there. Is that thing biblical? Is it something that we feel like the Lord puts His sanction on? Is something we need to be careful of? Is it of the world? Is it really something that we ought to just be freely and open to engage in? Or is it something we need to be careful about, folks? I say to us, it's something we need to be careful about. I'm not saying that we should never allow our young people to be alone. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's something we need to be careful about. We can't just turn our head and say, oh, everything's going to be all right. Because the enemy knows how to take advantage of these situations. And he knows our feelings. He knows our emotions. He knows your emotions. He knows where your thoughts are. He knows where your strengths and weaknesses are. And he also knows that when that touch, when a young man and a young woman are alone together, and that touch, you say just something just as simple as holding hands, so innocent as holding hands, I say to you, that, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. That can be very innocent, but you're going to tell me that it can't lead beyond that? Absolutely it can. Absolutely it does. You can look at the records and see how many teenage pregnancies we have. That's not because people are following biblical guidelines. It's because they have allowed themselves to become involved way beyond. Way beyond. It puts young people in a very difficult situation. It has to be approached with seriousness, not carelessly. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Chapter 20. It's rather naive of us folks to think that touching, please hear me, it's rather naive of us to think, young people, young couples, it's rather naive of us to think that touching is not sexual. We're naive to think that it's not. We know where it can go. Genesis 20. Third verse. This is when Abraham was with Sarah, his wife, came to Abimelech. Sarah was a very attractive woman, apparently. And Abraham told Abimelech that she's my sister, not my wife. Third verse, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she, even she herself, said, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. I didn't put you in that situation. I allowed you, Abimelech. I was the one that protected you. I put it in a place where you wouldn't touch her. Are we naive to think that simply touching is not sexual? Proverbs 6th chapter. Verse 27. Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. You think it's going too far? There has to be a balance in everything, folks. But the truth is, we have to have discipline. We are expected. God has given us something from youth, from birth. He's given us something that is innocent and pure. And the marriage relationship is to be innocent and pure. And inside of that relationship, when God has put His sanction on it between a husband and a wife, their intimate relationship is pure before God. Outside of that marriage relationship, anything that involves anything of a sexual nature, folks, is something that we must be very, very careful and guard against. Young men, I will tell you here this morning, You open the door to those things, it'll take you down. The devil will see to it that he'll take you down a wrong road. And it'll happen quickly. Young ladies, if you ever open that door, you have the strength, you have the power to say no. If you ever open that door, we never know. You never know how far the enemy is going to take you down that road. I'm telling you these things this morning because I see things in the world today that cause me great concern. And the truth is, folks, as goes the world, so goes the church. It's not uncommon for us to be a few steps behind the things of the world. And when our parents, when our adults, when we don't see the issues, when we don't see the things that we're dealing with, when we maybe look at it and say, well, it's not so bad. Folks, when we start opening the door, when we allow these types of things, and we turn our blind eye, turn our head, and we don't pay attention to what's going on, we open ourselves up for trouble, and we introduce our young folks to trouble. It's like we're writing a blank check to them, signing a blank check, and we're giving them opportunity to get into serious situations. We need to, as parents, grandparents can become involved here, but we need to step in and say to our children, teach them about these kinds of things. Teach them that there are certain things that you should not do. There are certain things that you don't do. When you're somewhere with a group of people and you have attention for some young lady and you want her to understand that you're interested in her, there's a way to go about that. I believe the best thing to do is find a group setting where you can be in a group setting and you can talk in a group setting. And there comes a time whenever there's a little separation in one-on-one. But I'm going to be honest with you. Our young folks today are starting that process around 12, 13, 14 years old. And you'll never convince me that they've got the understanding they need to have, the emotional capabilities of handling the pressures. You'll never convince me of that. I know better. I know better. Young man, go somewhere and sit down by this young lady one time. Next time he goes, he sits down by this young lady. Then the next setting, he's sitting by this young lady. And all along the way, you look at that and say, now what's going on here? Each one of these young ladies, the first time he goes, he sits down beside this little girl, and she says, oh, this guy might be interested in me. Her heart's a flutter, thinking that this guy's showing me some attention. And the next time he goes and sits down by somebody else, and this young lady says, I thought he might be interested in me, and now he's sitting by her. And now this young lady says, oh, maybe he's showing me some attention. Trifling with feelings, trifling with emotions, trifling. And the enemy sees those things, and he takes advantage of those things, and it's hurt feelings, serious deep wounds, deep hurts that go on in the hearts of people, and they can't process those things. They don't know how to deal with those things. Young people, they need to be taught that there is proper behavior and improper behavior. There are some things you just don't do. You don't trifle with another young lady's feelings. You don't trifle with her emotions. You don't do those kinds of things. First of all, it just doesn't look good. It gives the indication of being loose. You know what's also a concern? You see young ladies doing the same thing. Oh, Lord, help us. Whatever happened to manners and decency? Telling this young lady, honey, you shouldn't do those kind of things. When you do something like that, it makes you look loose. It makes you look bad. And I want you to be pure and innocent. I want you to be clean before the Lord. I want you to have in your own heart, I want you to have some feelings about yourself where you feel good about yourself, where you look in the mirror and the face that's looking back to you is one that's innocent. And when you step into a room full of people, I want you to be able to stand up tall and straight and be able to hold your head up and not walk in with your eyes shifty and wondering, oh, who knows about this and who knows about that and who saw this and who saw that. But what I'm concerned about today is there doesn't seem to be any concern about it. Young men, young ladies alike, walk into a room and no shame, no blush. Oh, may God help us. You see, what's happened, folks, is the enemy has been very successful in tearing down, destroying those God-given distinctions, boundaries. He's taken advantage of us. Too many times he's taken advantage of us. Now let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Sure is quiet. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, 22nd verse. That you put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. 2 Timothy 2 and 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And in closing, with 1 Corinthians again, 6 and 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And I want to tell you, folks, man wasn't created with the capability of carrying a load of sin. It's why the Lord spoke to Adam and to Eve and told them about that tree in the garden and said, "You shall not touch it. For the day that you do, you shall surely die." You see, we're not created to be able to carry that kind of weight, that kind of baggage. Once we open that door, folks, there's a weight to be carried there that's beyond measure, beyond understanding. The truth is, whenever we open the door to dating, courting, courtship, we ought to approach it seriously. But any time that a young couple separate themselves one-on-one. Guys, I want you to hear me. If you talk to a young lady and you give an indication to her that you want to talk to her privately or you want to take her somewhere privately, whether you are thinking this or not, it implies romantic interest. And usually both parties know it. So today I go with this one. I take this one out to eat. Next month, I take this one out to eat. Next month, I take this one out to eat. Folks, when we start doing those things, we're trifling with emotions. We're trifling with feelings. Young men, be careful about that. God is asking you to be responsible. He's asking you to take the lead. There's young ladies in this congregation, we've got little children growing up on these benches. They need teaching. They need somebody to step aside with them and talk to them and try to help them to see what the right direction is for them to go in life, how to manage their emotions and their feelings. I'll say this. If it has happened to you along the way where the enemy has taken advantage of you and you're dealing with those feelings and emotions and you don't know how to handle those things, Jesus came to forgive. He said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." I'm come, Jesus said, that you can have life and have it more abundantly. That woman that was caught in adultery in the very act that the scribes and Pharisees brought to Jesus, they brought her to him and said, "Now, Moses in the law says she should be stoned. What do you say?" Jesus looked at her and he looked at that circumstance and that situation and he knew their hearts, that they were trying to trip him up, trap him in something. He also knew that this woman was caught and that the sentence of death was upon her. So he began to write on the ground. You know the story. And he said, well, whoever among you is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. He wrote again on the ground, and it says, one by one, they began to walk away. He looked up at the woman and said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I condemn you, with this caveat, you go and sin no more. There is a way out. There's healing in Jesus. There's a way out. There's a way to get healing. There's a way to get deliverance. There's a way to get my sins cleansed and washed away and put on that white robe. There's a way for that. I would to God we never get there. I would to God we never get to the place, rather, that we have to have all of those deliverances and all of those struggles and fightings in life trying to get rid of those things. I would to God we'd start out early, taking the right path, not putting ourselves in the position where I have to deal with all of these feelings later on in life. But there is healing in Jesus. And if you need healing, it's there. And oh, I thank God, I've seen it. I've seen it extended. And it's available. And it works. It works. Falling on Jesus, pleading His mercy. I don't know what your thoughts were about the little message here this morning. But let's be careful. Parents, we've got some valuable, these little children that we have holding our hands, walking around with us. You see them playing in the yard. You see them make believe and pretending and all those kind of things that they do. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to watch them play. They're growing up. They're growing up. They're going to deal with all these feelings at some point in their lives. Oh, may God help us to teach them a biblical standard. How to keep their hearts and their minds and their lives pure before the Lord. And how to enter into a relationship that is pure and holy and righteous. Because once it's perverted, folks, it's hard to, truth is, it's hard to ever get it put back on the right track. You pray for me. Let's pray for one another.